NDR Info. Nachtclub.
Bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, die Band Daughter. Und sie kommen gleich zu Wort. Elena und Igor von der Band. Wir hören erstmal Musik von ihrem neuen Album Not to Disappear. Und zwar das erste Stück, das Eröffnungsstück des Albums New Ways. So, das war New Ways von Daughter von dem neuen zweiten Album Not to Disappear. Und Elena und Igor von der Band sind gerade bei mir im Studio. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad you could make it. And feel very flattered that a band has just sold out their tour, actually comes down to the studio to talk to me. I don't have to hang around backstage. You're actually coming here. That's very nice of you. Yeah. So the band originally came from London. Well, I mean, you come from the north of London originally.
Yeah.
But, I mean, doing my homework, because you're actually Irish-Italian, aren't you? And you're certainly not English by birth, are you?
So, no.
In fact, and there's a Frenchman in the band, so nobody's actually English, are they, really, in the band?
No, I mean, I was born in England, so I guess that counts. I'm the most English.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, do you think when bands start up, like in a place like London, is there a sort of consciousness about it? Well, we are a London band. Is there kind of like a mindset which goes with that? Do you think it's of relevance as opposed to if you had, you know, started up the band in Italy or something or in Switzerland? I mean,
I think so. My brother lives in Italy at the moment, and he's in a band, and I think it's kind of like talking to him and like thinking of how maybe I started and how it was when we were sort of gigging and things. I think there was a lot more. I don't know. I mean, I think we just did a lot more. There were a lot more venues, and I think there were sort of more open mic events and things like that that you could do really early on. And yeah, I mean, I guess we all met there, and so that, in essence, I guess was a lucky thing. And you know, Igor and Remy probably. You know, Igor could explain maybe more why he moved from Switzerland to London. But for me, growing up in London, just even being able to get the tube down to, like, you know, different venues and gigs and just have kind of a constant sort of relationship with going to see music was great as a young teenager.
Right.
It was awesome. But
ja, ich habe nämlich recherchiert, dass die Mitglieder alle nicht in Wirklichkeit hundertprozentig Englisch sind. Also Elena ist eine irische Italienerin, ist aber in England geboren. Igor kommt ursprünglich aus der Schweiz und der andere kommt aus Frankreich. Aber es ist dennoch eine richtige Londoner Band. Und Elena ist, wie gesagt, in England geboren und aufgewachsen. Sie hat einen Bruder, der in Italien lebt, der auch eine Band hat. Und sie meinte, er berichtet schon darüber, dass es da ganz anders ist eigentlich, wenn man eine Band hat. Und sie hat natürlich den Vorteil gehabt, also dass London immer so eine zentrale Anlaufstelle war, was Musik betrifft, also was Auftrittsmöglichkeiten betrifft, dass es die U-Bahn gibt, dass sie überall hin konnte. Und deshalb war es natürlich durchaus so ein guter Anfang, so in einer Großstadt zu sein. Und sie haben sich alle dort schließlich kennengelernt. Insofern, sie betrachten sich durchaus als eine richtige Londoner Band. So if I'm right, it actually started off as being your basic idea, because you started writing songs. Presumably at some stage in your childhood or in your youth, your adolescence or whatever. And then it felt necessary to actually get together with other musicians to work it out. And you never actually felt tempted to do, I don't know, like a Leonard Cohen and just do it on your own or anything. You actually wanted to have a band right from the word go.
Well, I did do solo stuff for a long time. Probably I basically started writing lyrics with no actual musical accompaniment. So they were
poems.
Like weird sort of hymn poems, yeah. I think they always had a melody, but they never had any instruments behind them. So
did you used to sort of sing them a cappella in the bath? Or
yeah, in my room. And I had a drawer full of scribbled down lyrics. I think I was about 13. I was a bit strange as a child. But yeah, I kind of started out doing that, and then I learnt guitar from that point, so that when I was maybe 15 or so, was when I kind of started playing, you know, whether it was just in small little venues around Watford and Harrow, where I'm from, or but it was never something that, as much as it obviously, I learned a lot, and I think I met a lot of people from before I went to the school and met Igor and Remy, but I never felt like I was never comfortable being. So a solo artist at that time, I wasn't really very confident, and I think also what I was making, I wasn't enjoying. Whereas when we started writing together, I was enjoying the music we were making.
And that boosted your confidence to actually have these people around you.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was just so nice to have other humans on stage being weird with me. It was wonderful.
Okay. Als sie angefangen hat, hat sie tatsächlich gar kein Instrument gespielt. Sie hat wirklich nur Texte geschrieben. In Wirklichkeit waren es eigentlich Gedichte, mehr oder weniger, aber mit Melodien. Sie hat sich schon Melodien ausgedacht in ihrem Kopf. Aber es war so ein bisschen so, ja, hymnenartige Gedichte, meint sie. Es war so ein bisschen schräg. Sie war ungefähr 13. Sie meinte, sie war ein sonderbares Kind mit 13. Dann hat sie irgendwann Gitarre gelernt und mit 15 hat sie angefangen, dann live zu spielen in kleinen Clubs in Watford, in Harrow, in solchen Gegenden. Und dann, als sie daher die anderen beiden kennengelernt hat, dann hatte sie natürlich schon so eine gewisse Erfahrung gesammelt, aber sie hatte sich nicht wohlgefühlt als Solokünstlerin und sie hat sich so gestärkt gefühlt, also was das Selbstbewusstsein betrifft, sobald sie dann angefangen hat, mit den anderen beiden zusammenzuarbeiten. Und so ging es eigentlich mit der Band los. Because a lot of people tend to think it's been like an overnight success, but it hasn't been, because there are like a couple of EPs that not many people really know about. Mm. And so you do actually feel you've paid your dues. You haven't actually been too much spoiled by success at an early stage.
I think that it's we've been very lucky, because the as much as it has been progressive, it's been sort of also constantly an upward sort of progress. So it's, you know, from doing the first EP in my bedroom to doing the second EP in a studio with Ian Grimble as a producer, and then signing to 4AD and all of that stuff, just sort of was, you know, each was a big step, but still a step. And with each step came a lot of, you know, touring and playing gigs from, you know, very small rooms and opening slots to around London, to getting out of London and starting playing, you know, around the UK and then Europe, and finally
selling
the world.
Out Europe. Selling out Europe. Right, okay. Ja, also Ego meinte, dass sie zwar schon das Glück gehabt haben, jetzt schon ziemlich schnell erfolgreich geworden zu sein, aber dennoch haben sie es durchaus erarbeitet. Er meinte, das war alles so stufenweise. Es war so Schritt für Schritt. Er kann sich daran erinnern, wie die erste EP in seinem Schlafzimmer entstanden ist. Und danach, dann, als das Debütalbum entstanden ist, war es im richtigen Studio. Sie haben dann auch einen Vertrag bei 4AD bekommen. Das war natürlich durchaus ein Prestige-Label und sie können sich damit schmücken. Und er meinte, es ist durchaus irgendwie so nicht, also kein Übernacht gewesen, dass sie so erfolgreich geworden sind. Es ist durchaus ein dauerhafter Prozess, aber es ist so eine positive Entwicklung. Und they had any setbacks as such yet, because it's just been this gradual move onwards and progression, but you don't feel you've had any setbacks.
If we had some, we just worked harder to get over them.
Okay, but nothing of significance, evidently. No,
not that I can. Okay.
No, I think, to be honest, when we started this band, I think we were all. It felt like we kind of had a very welcoming reception. I think a lot of my worst memories from kind of music industry and all the rest of it were really like when I was younger, when I was doing solo stuff. And I guess when it was like you're trying to make something and people are telling you, you know, you need to look a different way or sound a different way to be taken seriously. And I think that, like, to overcome that was a progression from the age of, like, I don't know. I mean, when did I go to college? Like 18. So yeah, like 15, 16 to 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a constant. It was a constant, like, oh.
So since you've been 20, it's got better. Right.
Well, since I've, you know, not, I guess, not cared about what people thought. So actually, probably since the age of 15, 16, I was like, I'm not caring about that. I'm doing my own thing. But it takes a while for people to be like, oh. Cool, okay.
So you're only suffering between the age of 13 and 15. You've done all right then, haven't you? Okay. Ja, sie meint, dass die einzigen wirklich negativen Erfahrungen, die sie gesammelt hat, waren ganz am Anfang, als sie zwischen 13 und 15 war, als sie sich sehr verwundbar gefühlt hat. Und sobald sie dann aufs College ging und sobald sie 18 war und mit anderen Musikern zusammengearbeitet hat, dann hat sie das Gefühl gehabt, dass es ihr deutlich besser ging und dass sie sich immer sehr wohl und sehr gut aufgenommen gefühlt hat, also von dem Publikum. Und seitdem waren die Reaktion, die Resonanz eigentlich eher sehr positiv. Right, so what would you like to hear next from this album, Not to Disappear?
Maybe we can go with track number 3, Doing the Right Thing.
Yeah, you don't want to contradict that, no?
No, that sounds good.
Okay, right, Doing the Right Thing. Well, we'll play that first and we'll talk about it afterwards. Okay, Doing the Right Thing, haben wir jetzt von dem neuen Album Not to Disappear von Daughter. Das war Doing the Right Thing von Daughter, von dem neuen Album Not to Disappear. Und Eleanor und Igor von der Band sind beide bei mir im Studio. Because there's quite a sad story behind that song, and you don't shy away from being very open and poignant in what you say, if you feel like it. Did it seem strange to broach a subject like that in the world of pop music? We're talking about, wasn't it your grandma getting Alzheimer's or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, I didn't really plan to write that song. It kind of fell out of my head. And I think, like all our songs do, it kind of was something that actually was... I was really thankful that it had happened, just because obviously I, you know, in a way I needed to address that as well. So yeah, it was. I wasn't thinking about it in relation to, will this make a good topic for, you know,
like a concept album about Alzheimer's? Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. It's something that, you know, is obviously really important to me, and so yeah, I'm glad that it's on the album.
Right, okay. And does it seem strange actually going through that song so many times live, actually going through, you know what I mean? Does it actually become more, in some way, emotional or less emotional? You just get used to it then. You do, to just go through the motions of singing that song eventually, and you can't really sort of constantly feel that depressed about it, can you?
No, I mean, I think in every song, the reason why you write it and the feelings behind why you write that song and the song itself are to me are two different things. I think there is a like an account of what happened, and that is the song, and it's I guess an abstract way of talking about emotions. And so when you actually perform that every night, you're not necessarily telling everybody the full story or the full kind of memory of something. It's more, it's an artistic version of something else. It's not, it obviously reminds me of her every time I play it, but it's not it's not a negative feeling at all.
Okay. Also das Lied, das wir gerade gehört haben, Doing the Right Thing, handelt von ihrer Großmutter, die Alzheimer-Krankheit bekommen hat. Und sie war sehr betroffen davon, Eleanor, und hat deshalb ein Lied darüber geschrieben. Das ist natürlich ein sehr ungewöhnliches Thema für die Popmusik. Und sie meinte, das war nicht so eine bewusste Haltung, dass sie sowas eigentlich thematisieren wollte. Aber sie ist einfach so entstanden, einfach in ihrem Kopf. Also eher fast per Zufall. Und sie ist froh, weil sie hat tatsächlich... Irgendwie, sie kann besser damit umgehen jetzt, also mit dem Problem im Zusammenhang mit ihrer Großmutter, weil sie das Lied geschrieben hat. Aber es ist, wenn sie es live dann singt, jeden Abend, dann kann sie natürlich nicht jedes Mal ganz tief darüber empfinden. Es sind zwei Paar Schuhe, man schreibt ein Lied, das einen sehr viel bedeutet. Aber man kann natürlich nicht immer diese intensiven Gefühle empfinden, wenn man es dann abends live spielt. Aber dennoch denkt sie natürlich an ihre Großmutter jedes Mal, wenn sie das Lied dann singt. Of course, your way of singing, I think, is interesting as well, because it's almost like it's a proper voice you've got. And obviously, you're quite a gifted singer by pop music standards. A lot of people in pop music can't really sing at all, and you really can. But it's almost like a conversational tone. It's kind of as if you're kind of almost talking to us, just telling, just actually narrating a story to us, I think. And is that how you feel the way it is yourself? Does it?
Well, I think that's how I've always thought my voice was. And is a tool to write with. I never had any pretense of being a singer. I use it as a way to express my writing. So if it sounds tuneful, that's a bonus to me. But it mainly is more about telling stories. So So that's probably.
And there's an actual warmth to it, of course. There's the warm quality. It's so important, isn't it? Because imagine if you left the band, it just couldn't function, could it? Because that voice is just stamped all over what you do. I think the warmth leads to the warmth of the quality of the music all round, don't you feel?
Oh, well, that's lovely. I mean, you know, we could try it. Remy and Igor, I'm off. but no, I mean, I think in every respect, each one of us is the sound of the band. It's kind of like our band sounds like our three heads smushed together. So I think quite equally think yeah,
I'm not saying they don't make
loss.
Their I'm not saying they don't make their effective contribution, but I can imagine them kind of playing off your vocal
because of course yeah
you know what I mean
it's, no it's a, it would yeah. be it wouldn't be imaginable to no. not have Anna in the band.
Ja, aber wir haben gerade das Thema ihrer Stimme gehabt und ich meinte, dass sie eine sehr gute so Sängerin ist für die Verhältnisse von Popmusik. Und so viele gibt es natürlich, die nicht so gut singen können in Wirklichkeit. Und sie meinte, sie hat sich nie richtig als Sängerin betrachtet und sie meinte, dass sie deshalb wahrscheinlich ein bisschen so diese Plauderart hat, wenn sie singt. Es klingt fast, als ob sie uns einfach mit uns redet. Natürlich singt sie dabei, aber es ist fast, als ob sie mit uns spricht, wie eine Art Konversationsstil. Und es ist eigentlich sehr einfach hinzuhören, also wenn sie singt. So I think it makes it interesting because it means, because you have this way of singing and this almost conversational tone, it makes it easy to concentrate on what you're singing about, where a lot of lyrics just kind of wash over you as a listener. In this case, you stand up to attention, I think, as a listener, immediately to your vocals, which I think is important.
That's great. Good.
So you're pleased that we're all standing up to attention.
I'm glad that someone's listening to what the bloody hell I'm going on about.
Because you're not quite sure what you're going on about. No, because I mean, on one song, you do actually suggest getting a dog, yeah, which I thought was quite.
Oh yeah.
Which tends to well, it's emphasising what I'm saying about it being conversational. Well, I'll just go and get a dog. I think.
Yeah, yeah that'll sort things out. Yeah, just get a fluffy thing. That'll be fine.
And that'll solve everything. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, have you always felt the necessity to be quite direct in lyrics, and that you do you shy away from being too cryptic then, or?
Well, I think the first album was a bit more cryptic. I think the first album was a bit more. There was more, I guess, imagery, but things were hiding behind a bit more. Whereas this album, I think, is a lot more. Oh yeah, a lot more conversational. It's a lot more directly. Like, this is what I'm saying, kind of thing. But whether that, I never intended it for it to be that way. Really, it just kind of happens, and I don't really edit what I write. So there was a few songs in this record where I had the moment where I was like, it's this maybe too much information. But at the same time, it felt wrong to take it out. So I just left it all in.
And they didn't dare edit it?
No, I mean, I think they wouldn't really.
No.
It's not really how we work.
Right, okay. So it isn't, you're not a, it's not a tyranny of the band, it's kind of, you all, there's no friction in that respect when it comes down to who has the most, is there a power struggle in any sense in the band, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we're all very opinionated. Yeah, I think that's the thing. We're all very opinionated, and therefore, it's not the most peaceful. Sometimes the most peaceful band to be in, but I think that's also quite a good thing. I think having a bit of tension in there actually is a good thing. But we're all fighting towards the fact that we want to all make something that sounds great. So it's a positive. Struggle sometimes, but it's great. It just means that we love what we do, but we're just very passionate about it. But yeah,
also Eleanor sagt, dass das Debütalbum von textlichem her war durchaus ein bisschen verschlüsselter. Also das war nicht ganz so deutlich, die Aussagen, die sie gemacht hat. Sie hat eher so mit Metaphern gearbeitet. Und auf dem zweiten Album ist es durchaus, was ich gesagt habe, eher so ein Konversationsstil, also fast so ein Plauderstil, dass es deutlich ist, worüber sie dann singt. Aber das war, wie gesagt, nicht so beabsichtigt. Und sie hat gedacht, was diese Platte betrifft, dass es vielleicht zu ausführlich war, was sie an Informationen vermittelt hat. Aber dann hat sie es dabei belassen. Weil sie dachte, es ist letztendlich doch eine spontane Geschichte und es ist authentisch, wenn es so bleibt, wie es ist. Und die anderen Bandmitglieder waren auch damit zufrieden. Und sie haben gesagt, es gibt schon Machtkämpfe innerhalb der Band und durchaus Reibungen. Die sind alle, sie haben ihre starke Meinungen und sie wollen sich alle gerne behaupten. Aber das kann sehr positiv sein, so was den kreativen Prozess betrifft, weil es kann natürlich durchaus passieren, dass die Kreativität damit gedeiht. Also wenn sie nicht so friedlich sind. Und Eleanor meinte, es ist nicht unbedingt eine friedliche Band, aber weil sie alle dieses ehrgeizige Ziel haben, also Vollkommenheit anzustreben, das kann durchaus positiv sein, wenn sie sich manchmal miteinander dann streiten. So jetzt haben wir ein Stück von ihrem Debütalbum, If You Leave. Hier ist jetzt Daughter mit Youth. Das war Youth von Daughter von ihrem Debütalbum If You Leave. Bei mir im Studio sind Eleanor und Igor von der Band. I do actually feel it, because you're on the 4AD label, it seems like in some way it's a mixed blessing of being on the 4AD label, because on the one hand, obviously it's a prestigious label, but on the other hand, it's also for a lot of people, they get very nostalgic about the great records that came from 4AD. So that could make you seem to be like a band of being nostalgic about getting back to better times, you know, the times of the Cocteau Twins, of people like Slow Dive. Actually, I don't think Slow Dive were on 4AD.
No, they weren't.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? These kind of ethereal bands where people think, oh, wasn't music so magical in those days? And there's hardly anything like that anymore. But we do have Daughter, you know. So, you know, there's a mixed blessing, don't you think? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think I really feel like our music is very much anchored in, you know, today's time, and we're actually not necessarily people who look actually back with that much nostalgia. You know, we have obviously a few staple mark artists and bands who have influenced us from back in the day, but you know, a lot of the music we listen to is today's music. In terms of the 4AD thing. You know, I think 4AD signed us because they believed in what we were doing in terms of how relevant it was to today's music. And if you look at sort of their current roster, they're still signing loads of people, and it's very much like a lot of the time sort of progressive people who are interested in you know, doing things that are relevant to the current musical climate, whether it's to push that musical climate or whether it's to play with it. I mean, yeah, different angles, but always being relevant to today.
Right, okay.
More than nostalgic.
Yeah, I think that what was great initially, and what was so exciting, is that we, you know, we were very big fans of 4AD, and so for it to be signed to a label that you're a big fan of, and to also kind of be surrounded by, you know, the fact that that's been an incredible amount of incredible records coming from this label, it gives us, I guess, like a healthy amount of, we need to make something that isn't rubbish. And I think that's like, that's a good feeling to have. That's something where you're like, you know, we need to you know, to make something good.
So you think if you're on another label, you might feel tempted to make some rubbish?
No, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like, there is that like legacy that is, that's very inspiring. But you know, as Igor said, you know, it's definitely a label that has a lot of very different artists, and I think that's great as well, you know.
And people tend to overlook the fact that there are a lot of different types of artists on 4AD as well, don't they?
Yeah, maybe.
Wir haben gerade über das 4AD-Label gesprochen. Die sind natürlich bei 4AD unter Vertrag, ein richtiges Prestige-Label, und es gibt so viele tolle Bands aus der Vergangenheit, die auf dem Label gewesen sind. Und ich dachte, es ist ein gemischter Segen vielleicht für die. Die würden vielleicht zu sehr in einen Topf mit solchen Bands geworfen werden, und sie möchten natürlich ihre eigene Identität dann aufbauen. Und Ego meinte, dass sie gar nicht so nostalgisch sind von der Grundeinstellung her als Band. Sie hören nicht so viele richtige alte Bands, obwohl sie natürlich schon ihre Lieblinge von früher haben, wie jede andere Band auch. Aber sie sind schon eher so, dass sie sich für zeitgenössische Musik interessieren. Und das 4AD-Label hat heutzutage auch sehr viele neue progressive Künstler. Und Elena hat es im Prinzip auch bestätigt. Sie meinte, sie haben zwar das 4AD-Label auch als Jugendliche geliebt, und sie sind sehr stolz, auf dem Label zu sein. Und sie finden das Erbe des Labels ist schon sehr beeindruckend. Und es ist eigentlich eine Motivation eher, also dass sie sich verpflichtet fühlen, also was wirklich sehr Niveauvolles zu machen und was wirklich sehr Gutes hinzubekommen, weil das Label diese Geschichte hat. Und deshalb, sie können sich das nicht leisten, irgend so einen Müll zu veröffentlichen. Right, so we better hear Along With You, I think, because we mentioned one of the lyrics about you getting a dog, which you haven't done so yet, have you? You're just on the tour.
No, you can't get a dog. The worst that, yeah. Not a good situation for a pet.
No, quite. Anything else to say about this? Well, it's one of the most obvious examples of what we were saying about you being very direct in your lyrics on this album, about sort of saying where you hate sleeping with somebody, for example, things like that. It's a very blatant thing to say, obviously.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's probably the one where it really was written like a poem. It kind of, when you kind of open it out, it feels like it has two sides, one obviously being the alone and one being the with you side. So, yeah, it's one that I think probably is the best example of the lyrics being very, very direct, and a direct conversation with another person. So, yeah.
All right. So you could actually do a spoken word album, couldn't you, sometime like Henry Rollins eventually?
Well, maybe.
Who knows?
Well, I don't think anyone would want to listen to my spoken word album. I think quite luckily, we have some uplifting music behind all of the spoken word of doom that I seem to be spouting out.
Right. Talk about the music again. What I've also noticed about the arrangements, they're a lot denser, I think, than on the first album. Don't you feel this?
Yeah.
That was probably also a deliberate ploy, wasn't it?
It wasn't deliberate. It's denser. Yeah, in certain ways, but it just felt right for the songs and the kind of music that we were doing.
I think also we love just the idea of sort of adding. We tend to just keep adding layers because we think things sound good, and then we realise there's only three of us, and that might be a problem if we want to translate that to playing it live.
And also, to be fair, though, they don't all sound good. Then, and I think a lot of the work that we do is often take those layers out by the end. You know, it's just because I don't think any of us has ever run out of ideas, especially when it comes to texture and music and that kind of thing. So it's more about getting as much possible out of your head, and then after that, sort of slowly taking it back to what is actually necessary at the core.
So you don't want to turn into My Bloody Valentine, then?
No.
Right. Well,
but even them, it's like it's you know there's obviously layers, but a lot of the layers are doing the same thing. So it's more about, you know, it's not like a million musical parts put together.
No,
it's
true.
A few. Layered in a way to create a certain effect, or whether, you know, it's like a sonic effect or an emotional effect or both at the same time.
Okay, so wir hören gleich das Stück Alone With You von dem Album Not To Disappear, und es ist ein sehr gutes Beispiel dafür, wie sie dann sehr deutlich dann ihre Botschaft vermittelt. Sie meinte, das ist wirklich wie ein Gedicht, das also fast vorgetragen wird. Und da gibt es auch diese eine Zeile drin, wie sie sich dann irgendwann einen Hund anschaffen will. Das fand ich auch ganz original. Normalerweise gibt es keine Poptexte, in denen man darüber spricht, wie man am liebsten einen Hund anschaffen will, um seine Probleme zu lösen. Das fand ich auch ganz witzig. Aber das hat sie in Wirklichkeit nicht gemacht. Sie meinte, mit ihrem Lebensstil könnte sie auch kein Haustier haben. Das würde natürlich gar nicht gehen, weil sie permanent auf Tour ist. Ich bemerkte auch, dass das Album, was die Arrangements betrifft, letztendlich viel üppiger sind als bei dem Debütalbum. Und das war auch gewollt. Das ist ein Teil ihrer Entwicklung, und sie haben teilweise auch in dem Studio wirklich sehr viele Schichten gehabt, die sie teilweise wieder weggenommen haben, weil es nachher zu viel des Guten war. So wir hören jetzt Alone With You von Daughter von dem Album Not To Disappear. So das war Alone With You von Daughter von dem Album Not To Disappear, und bei mir im Studio sind Eleanor und Igor von der Band. It's interesting to think that a band in 2016 can actually make music which seems so human, because people tend to think of, because of modern technology, about how everything's becoming less human. And there's always been something very emotional about what you do. On the one hand, it can be a bit depressing, but it can also be quite comforting as well. And in that sense, it seems to be a bit out of sync about the way the world is going. But I mean, is that something you're aware of, or are you just doing your own thing without even thinking about the kind of context you're working in?
Out of sync in terms of, I guess, to do with that there's more electronically made music? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, it's the fact that, and there's like songwriters who just make albums on a laptop in the kitchen or whatever and don't even need to use real instruments at all.
But
and they can get away with that, doing that. And in 20, 30 years' time, maybe there's hardly any more guitars left or whatever, you know.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I think that there is, I find that it's also maybe just the way that you interpret music and the way that your brain works. And I find that actually I can sometimes listen to like minimal electronic music and find it very emotional and find a kind of story amongst the fact that there's no live instruments, and maybe it's just, you know, very glitchy, or there's only like a couple of real melodic refrains or repeats or things like that. But it's still, there's something that I find very emotional in that, and sometimes in that kind of music. So I don't think you necessarily have to have real instruments to have an emotional content. I think we turn towards, I would instinctively pick up a guitar because it's something that I've had as a tool for years. It's something that I started off really when I wanted to write with music. That was my go-to. But quite equally, during the course of even making this record, we use Logic and we make tracks. And often, you know, if you're sitting in a hotel room with not a lot of stuff, it's, you know, you have a MIDI keyboard and a laptop and you're away and you're writing. Right. So I think, you know, for us, it's moving with technology, moving against technology. It's never, we don't think like that. We use the tools that are in front of us to make something that we love. But I don't, yeah, I'm not worried that, you know, that people are not going to be writing with guitars. There will always be people writing with guitars. Like there will always be people writing with, you know, composing music for orchestras. It will always happen because, you know, that's
fingers
the way
crossed.
People. No, but I mean, it will.
Right.
And I'll let you. I'll.
Ja, okay. Ja, also Elena meinte, dass sie durchaus Musik genießen kann ohne echte Instrumentierung. Also minimalistische elektronische Musik ist für sie manchmal ganz reizvoll und kann sie auch emotional auch berühren. Und sie meinte, dass sie, auch wenn sie zum Beispiel in einem Hotel wohnen gerade und sie haben nicht gerade viel Instrumentierung zur Verfügung, dann können sie auch mit dem Laptop einfach irgendwelche Ideen ausarbeiten. Ist auch ganz praktisch. Das auf der einen Seite, also sind sie durchaus irgendwie, begrüßen sie die moderne Technologie, obwohl sie organische Instrumente auch verwenden. Und sie meinte, dass für sie es ist im Prinzip gar kein Konflikt. Es ist überhaupt nicht irgendwie so, es widerspricht sich nicht. Also sie hat das Gefühl, dass es immer Musik geben wird mit echten Gitarren zum Beispiel und auch immer Musik, die darauf verzichtet, die auch ohne echte Instrumentierung funktionieren kann. Und damit kann sie auch leben. Sie meinte im Prinzip, sie sind einfach eine moderne Band, die alle Mittel verwenden, die sie zur Verfügung haben. Right, so we're gradually running out of time now, aren't we? So what would you like to hear to finish off?
I think, what's a good closing track? Maybe To Belong?
Sounds good.
To Belong, okay. Is that a song you sometimes finish off your concerts with or not?
No, we actually haven't played it yet. We need to play it.
Oh, so it's a deliberately obscure choice. Right. Well, that's good for this radio show. So. That's very fitting, right? Okay. So zum Schluss hören wir ein Stück, das Sie noch nicht live gespielt haben. Eine ziemlich so obskure Auswahl. Das passt dann zu der Sendung. All right, well, thanks very much for coming down to talk to me. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And, yeah, let's hope you carry on selling out Europe.
Oh, it'd be nice.
Right, okay. So das war Eleanor und Igor von der Band Daughter und wir hören jetzt das Stück To Belong zum Schluss. Das war der Nachklub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info Nachrichten.